Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praise and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Our special bonus episode for the week. We're here in Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's around, quarter to six here on Wednesday. We're all getting prepared for the Big Wise Guys comedy show tonight at Tavolino. So if you guys are in Coral Springs, Florida, it'd be a good time to come out to Coral Springs tonight. And Tavolino's, your headliner, Chris Gorgeous.
Hello, everybody.
Will be there. And Ethan Moore, local comic, will be doing a spot tonight as well.
Hey, good to be here, Dougie.
And plus Pierre is our feature comic.
And in addition, Pierre, or that's his name, plus Pierre?
I don't know. When I first thought of it, there was like a big fat guy, like plus.
No, but I mean. Is it
Plou Pierre?
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be like.
Plus?
Yeah, because he's Haitian, right? It's supposed to be French or something.
Plus Pierre.
I know. It's like. It's hard to figure out, trust me. But he's a good guy. He's got
super
a big beard.
Funny, though.
Yeah, funny dude. And he'll be on the show featuring tonight. And, of course, I'll be your host. So if you guys are around, come out to that. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And now, you've been here in the studio before.
Yes,
And you've been at Tavolino's.
I have.
Twice before, right?
Twice, yeah.
I mean, one time I was there and the other time I was out of town.
That's correct, yeah. That was the time when you were out of town, that's when it all went to crap.
Did it?
Somebody his face is like, what?
No. Somebody hosted the show and blew it.
No, both times I've had a blast. The owner's really cool. The food's awesome, yeah.
You know, that's a hard, like, people, like, sometimes I have people say, well, I don't want to host, but I'm like, dude, to me, that's hard. Like, I get headliners all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, the feature, we need features. Mm-hmm. You know, we always need somebody good that could do a solid 20, 25 minutes and not walk the crowd.
Yeah.
You
right.
know what I mean? And that happens.
Does it?
Well, listen, you know our room's not easy.
No.
But you've been doing this, so when you're the kind of comic that knows when something's not going great.
Yeah.
You shift, you adjust.
I don't think I've ever seen a room get walked, though.
I did a show last night, and during the feature set, about half the audience left. But it wasn't like his fault, really. It was just like some of them had been there for a while, and they didn't know that that the comedy show was going to go on that long, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
They were there for some birthday party earlier.
Yeah.
It wasn't really his fault, but it did seem like bad, you know?
Yeah, they were there and a comedy show happened.
Yeah.
And like, crap.
Yeah.
And you have some open mics and say, I got a standing ovation. No, they were walking out.
And did you notice they had doggy bags when their ovation? They actually had food to go.
Yeah. I like hosting, by the way.
Yeah.
I think hosting is some of the most fun you can have. I used to hate it when I first started because a lot of my material is darker, and I was like, no one's going to like my dark material as a host. But you have to host when you do comedy. You know, it's one of the earliest things you have to learn how to do.
Now, do you adjust your material?
I do, yeah. Now when I host, I just try to keep it fun. I still do a couple darker jokes sometimes.
Yeah, a little. It's not bad if you kind of throw it in a little bit after you got to know them a little bit.
Right.
But, you know, when you host, that's same. Like, you know, I don't come out, you know, with my... It's like anything. If I'm doing a guest spot, if I'm doing an audition or a guest spot, I don't come out with, you know, my I just come out pretty, you know, I'm going to do a nice, decent 10 minutes, whatever it is I'm going to do. I'm not going to, you know, come out and, you know, I'm not that dirty anyway, but,
right,
you know.
I do the same thing every time.
Yeah?
No.
Starts here. You know, it's interesting because I was in the World Series of Comedy last week,
mm-hmm.
and you're allowed to repeat material in the contest.
Yeah.
So if you go to the first night, there was 7 minutes, like eight, nine comics doing 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the most part, I said, I'm going to start from when I usually start my normal set.
From the beginning?
I'm going to come out like I'm just starting my normal whatever set I'm doing. And then, you know, I think, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do at least two or three different bits.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to pick out my two or three best jokes of those bits and just kind of shorten it up and juice it up. And then Then Saturday, we made it to the finals. I made it to the top six.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And nice. Now you're doing 12 or 11 minutes.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start from the same spot, but add a couple more jokes in that bit.
Right.
But then there was a part of me like, just do something completely different, you know, and less. And everybody's like, you know, was
so
like,
what'd you do?
I ended up just doing that. I threw
doing,
you know,
something different.
I started from the beginning again, but added a little more to it.
Was
to
that
those jokes.
Was that a problem?
No, I did. You know, I did good, and I think the only difference to me with the advice I was got. I think your old Tory partner Tiffany was there. Well, she was there on Thursday night because she was on the same show.
Mm-hmm.
But on Saturday, you know, I thought I had crowd reaction. I think I had one of the top three sets.
Yeah.
You know, top three sets.
Right.
But you know, Les Tomey says the difference between you and the guys who went to top three. You know, they liked you, and they, you know, you're funny, you're great, but some of the jokes...
You weren't gay?
Yeah, I wasn't like, blowing anybody, you know. No,
I don't mean actually doing sex acts, but, you know, you got the niche, the gay or downs
just,
or something.
Yeah, I didn't have anything, you know.
Yeah, you should get downs. And you could, move up in the comedy world.
I was pulling up clips for a podcast I did.
Can you change the number of chromosomes, Dougie?
I pulled up a Chris Rock bit from like Just for Laughs or some festival he was in, and he was ending his set, and that's what he said. He goes, "I'm the only black dude here, and I don't have anything else wrong with me. So does anybody really care?" You know, like he was like, "I'm not a woman. I'm not." He just laid it out, man. He's like, "I got nothing other than I'm black and I'm here."
I mean, that helps in the contest. Like, want to pick certain, like they have the Stand Up for Diversity, right? That's a big contest NBC puts together every year.
What's that?
Stand Up for Diversity. I know, but that's like if you're Asian, you're Hispanic, black,
you're not a
woman,
in,
you're gay.
You can't be in it.
What is this?
You're kind of middle of the road white dude. You can't do it, dude.
Nope,
sorry.
Don't they need some diversity in terms of white
He's
people?
He's not for you. Did you hear what he said? He's not for you.
Yeah, I get that email and I'm like, I can't do this.
I mean,
my family's Hispanic, you know, but I come out Italian. Everybody thinks I'm Italian. They think, oh,
you're not Italian.
No, see what I'm saying?
I'm white. I'm not even allowed to guess anymore. So I don't even ask.
Almeida sounds like more Hispanic than Italian.
Yeah, it's a Portuguese name.
Yeah, okay. But he's got the Italian tone, and you know, it's wise guy show.
You do the wise guy show, Dougie.
I know.
People say why do you always think I'm Italian? Because I have a pizza in my hand. I'm eating a cannoli. I drive a Trans Am.
No, because you got that tone. You got that that New England Italian tone.
Well, you know, the Queens, New York kind of guy. You know.
Okay. I'd go with that stereotype before the cannoli. Was it Corvette? What was it?
Drive a Trans Am.
Tossing a pizza into the air.
Who does that? Just out in town.
I call it
gravy. You know, like Italians do.
I'm going to go down to the store hunt. I'm going to grab the pizza.
I call it gravy.
Gravy.
Anyway, you know. So that, I don't know. So the whole idea was, for me, the guy, like I said, he goes, "You're funny and stuff," but some of the jokes, like those guys had all jokes I didn't, you know, I never heard. Now, in all fairness, one guy told a fart joke, which I was like,
a
fart joke, you know, and that's.
So what was Les saying? Les is saying that your stuff's sort of like stuff that's, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like you expect the punchline.
Well, or you're not, like an example, I tell a joke that I look like Ron Jeremy.
Okay.
It's a very funny joke.
You do look like Ron Jeremy.
You know, thanks, buddy. Yeah. Thanks.
And, I don't mean it in a bad way.
Well, you know.
Ron the Schlong? It's pretty
famous.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, so,
yeah, I haven't seen your schwanz. So.
Yeah, I know. Well,
can you compare it to the Schlong?
Yeah, well, trust me, I could nail a 9-inch.
I'm just supposed to trust you on that?
Yeah, I can nail a 9-inch metal.
I mean, it is his show. I guess we have to just go with it.
I don't have to trust anybody when it comes to their penis size.
This is my show, and I'm telling you, I got a big dick.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Hey, whatever you want to use your platform for, Doug. You know, I mean, like,
listen, everybody's got, you know.
Too bad. You should have had something heavy to drop on the table just then.
I could have.
And now a word from our sponsor, Dougie's Dick.
Yeah, exactly. Extends. Yeah, a lot of suction, a lot of hanging with weights. That always helped as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, you take weights and just let it hang.
What?
Tie it
no,
to
I never bought that.
That's
no,
like
you
self-mutilation.
Do.
What, did you grow up in an African tribe somewhere? What are
no,
you
you're not putting
about?
A bowling ball on the end of it.
Why put anything on it?
Yeah, like a stapler or something.
You know, there's some kid.
You put a stapler on your dick?
Yeah, you get something of weight and you let it hang your dick
something
down.
Something of weight, so you grab a stapler. Man, if I was his mother, I'd be pissed off.
Get a bobblehead.
I feel like if you had a huge dick, you wouldn't be doing that.
No, that's
the
thing.
See, that's how he got it long.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
You're saying when you were born, it was tiny.
I'm not saying it
was
tiny.
It's gigantic.
Okay. No, I'm not saying it was tiny.
From the stapler.
You had to have a place you could tie the rope onto,
oh,
at
that's
least.
True. Right, right.
Meanwhile, his mom's in the other room like, Dougie, are you stretching your dick out again? I got papers to correlate.
Stop taking all my paperweights off the table.
Jesus Christ.
Where's the bull in the matador that's on the dining table?
That's not Italian. That's not Italian.
Yeah. Every Spanish home has a bull and matador somewhere in the house.
Oh, my mom had all that stuff.
Yeah, we always, like, my mother, and every time
an actual bull.
Well, you know, like a statue,
facsimile,
and you know that's what happened. We'd have, we'd have that, and you know, my mother would throw the bull at one of us once in a while when something would go wrong.
What was it made out of?
Nice.
It was like, not all marble or something.
Jesus Christ.
It's made of uranium.
Let me get this straight. You're in your house stretching your dick out with your mom's stapler. She's throwing marble statues at you.
That's right.
Punching holes in the wall.
What the shit, man.
Yeah. No, you know, so...
he's like, no, we don't have to talk
about that. No, we're not. We'll get over that subject.
You should have used that bull to stretch out your dick, you know? That would have been perfect.
He probably did.
Well, yeah, after a while it gets bigger. You can start using things like the TV.
Yeah, right, of course, yeah. Anvils, right. We got Doug. Whatever.
Exactly. I forgot how we shipping got this. Container. So, I tell that joke, and so, in other words, you know, Les said to me, he says, you know, it's a funny joke, but I know it's a big dick joke. You know, it's about a big dick, you know.
So he wants stuff that's unexpected. He wants...
Right, and I get that. I like doing that. I like one-liners. You know, I tell a joke. I can't be racist. I'm involved in an interracial...
Cam Bircher made it into the finals.
He's a funny dude. Yeah. So he made it. Actually, he came in second place.
Did he?
Jason Salmon out of New York City is a very funny comic, also won.
Yeah.
And Mike Paramore, who's a good comic, too, very funny dude, took third. So, you know, I wanted to get into the top three. You know, that would be great because then I get to go up again and do another 25, you know, set because everybody. But, you know, Chris Flanagan was also in the final six.
Yeah.
And he didn't, you know, move on. So we went out to dinner, and which was great because there's a lot of good looking women in Sarasota. I don't know if you were there. You were there recently. You worked there.
They're all gay. You know that, right?
What? The women?
Yeah.
Big
gay community.
I went to college there. Yeah. There is a big gay community there.
Huge gay community.
Yeah.
No, I recognize with some of the men, but the women. I mean,
he's like, I know what a man's gay.
I know. I got Gaydar when it comes to guys.
Gaydar was in the red.
That's great.
My Ron Jeremy penis was tingling the whole time.
So many women around all these gay dudes. So this is awesome.
But I mean, that's like, everywhere. Like all the older women, they're all fit. You know, they're all good looking.
That's money. It's money.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like a resort community.
Like, wow, you at night went to this place. To have have something to eat after and a beer, and it was like, whew, you know, you're looking around and jam.
That never happens to me. I end up in the parking garage with the staff. That's what happens.
Yeah,
Chris, you heard you talked about pot. You want a pot?
Yeah,
that's what they say too. You want a pot?
You want a pot?
No, want a pot?
Now that's
you are hip, man.
I know. I'm down.
How do you stay so with it?
Hey, you know what? I dab a lot.
I mean, isn't it? It's quite easy though. Right. Yeah, I know when I'm on the road, it's easy finding. You know, because I don't like to fly with it.
Yeah.
So
you're a smoker?
Yeah. So if I do, you know, I it's easy to find people, and a comedy club is usually somebody that
I've never actually asked. It's usually a couple of fans, maybe the staff. Yeah, I don't really, you know, I just talk about it, legalizing it in my act, so people just assume.
You hear that?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. People just assume. Okay, well, you know, ask them.
Oh, you talk about legalizing?
Yeah, definitely.
I like that. I'm actually. Advocate. I do a radio show, and on this radio show, I've started talking about how I'm going to start running for governor.
Oh, yeah?
And I have one plank in my platform, which is legalize heroin.
Legalize heroin.
We're going to start with heroin. I figure we could get that legal, then it would be easy to legalize pot.
Yeah, let me know how that goes.
That's my plan.
No way.
Florida governor.
That ain't going to work.
All the stereotypes of heroin are true. Yeah. That's the thing.
You might as well start with meth.
The pot stereotypes, not so much. Heroin, it's true.
Angel dust or flocka.
Bunch of nodders. That's what we're going to get in this country.
Yeah.
I just don't think the government should be telling you what you can put in your body.
Yeah, no, on a certain level, I agree, but, I mean, there are things that, you know, they're super dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, that's like saying, you know, we shouldn't put any warnings on chemicals because you should be able to put whatever you want in your body. Well, some people are stupid, dude.
No, I agree.
Well, I say put warnings on the drugs, but just don't make them illegal.
No, listen, that ain't going to help. People don't, and, you know, most of the people that surround us are hoople heads, okay?
Hoople heads?
Hoople heads.
What is that?
Look, it's Italian, you don't know?
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's a Portuguese-Italian expression.
Ethnic, yeah, I like it.
Hoople heads?
Yeah, hoopleheads.
Hoople.
Knuckleheads is what you mean.
It was like you're kind of donkey in the north and up in the during the west. You know, I got the expression from the old show Deadwood, which used to be on HBO.
Yeah, I remember the show.
That's a great show.
Swargen used to call everybody hoopleheads.
Okay. The ones that were in the opium dens,
like the Minnesota people and the villagers.
Oh, so this is regional. It had nothing to do with drugs.
No, these are to me, hoopleheads have taken on a new identity. It's more like these are dopey. These are fucking idiots. These are people.
But you get high though. You're one of those guys, right?
Listen, I'm not a dopey hooplehead. I got a degree. I got smarts. I make six figures. You know, I'm not. You know what I mean?
So money separates you from the hoopleheads.
Listen,
as opposed to the drug use.
If you got money because you got a scratch off ticket, you could be a hooplehead. But if you busted your ass and came from a family who had nothing, and then you have money now, it's hard to be a hooplehead when you've achieved certain things.
Can't you still be a hooplehead? Can't you have all that money and still
you
be an
idiot? You
could
be a poor hooplehead, that somebody who's a great teacher or maybe a minister or somebody who donates their time to charity.
So what is the criteria for hooplehead? That's what I'm curious.
Hooplehead, I'll give you an example.
Yeah,
a hooplehead is somebody who leaves their kid in the car when they're at work. With 11, like a fucking 100-degree temperature. That's a hoople head.
Oh, so a murderer.
Yeah.
But do you think a person that worked hard their whole life and has a whole lot of money could make that mistake, or do you think just poor people make that mistake?
I think stupid people, hoopleheads, make that mistake.
That wasn't my question.
Well, listen, liberals like to ask sharp angle questions, so it goes.
So how is that a sharp angle question?
So answer your question. Go ahead.
You delineated the difference between somebody that would do that and somebody that wouldn't do that into an economic structure. My question
not
to you is,
solely. I didn't say
okay,
that.
Okay, well, no,
true.
There's never absolutes. I know that, yeah, because that would be too dangerous. But, but my question is, do you think it's possible somebody that worked hard and has money and has a nice house could do something stupid like that?
No.
Really?
No, because usually when somebody works hard, it takes certain consistencies, it takes certain disciplines. Hmm. Anybody that's successful has something going, whether it's a great continuous job, they're not changing jobs every 6 months, they have a career somewhere, even if they don't have to be making $100,000, they can be making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, but that's what they're doing there. They're on job, they get the employee of the month, they're on time, you know, that kind of stuff. So that develops a certain level of discipline, and when people have that continuity, it's kind of hard to make really stupid mistakes. Mm. You know, not that stupid people make mistakes, but my point is, hoopleheads are people that just make those mistakes over and over again. They don't ever learn. You can tell somebody, you know, you met people in your life, you give them advice, you tell them something, and they still do the same stupid shit all the time.
Hey, man, I'm in AA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you met a lot of people.
Yeah, I deal with these
people
every day.
Is he a hooplehead?
Am I a hooplehead?
No, he's not a hooplehead.
I'm kind of
Why
a hooplehead.
Why is he not a hooplehead?
Because he made it here on time. He's here today. You know, he's groomed, you know.
So promptness. So
there's a lot of things, there's a lot of things, Chris, that you know you have that keep you from being a hooplehead.
I'm pro when it comes to comedy, but the rest of my life is a disaster.
I'm fascinated with your theology, Dougie, I have to say.
And by the way, Jeff Anderson says, Google it, Hooplehead, North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Is that like a city in...
Yeah,
North Dakota.
Hooplehead,
North Dakota.
Yeah,
home of the world's largest ball of twine.
There's so many hoopleheads in North Dakota that they don't even recognize it's an insult. Anyway,
I'm just saying, legalize heroin, guys. Come on, vote for me.
No, many hoopleheads.
I'm a libertarian. Nah, you know,
that's the thing. And, too many. You can't give people too much. I mean, look at that. Look at all these people we find that are leaving their kids in the car. That's just ignorant. I mean,
that should be illegal.
You know what I mean? Well, it is.
When I'm the governor of Florida, that will still be illegal.
It is illegal.
Yeah,
it will still be when I'm the governor.
Thanks. I'm not the kind of governor who's going to get things done. I'm just going to make stuff that was working still work.
I don't know if it's really an epidemic of people leaving their kids in the car. I mean, it happens, but you know,
it happens a little too.
Hey,
more,
you know, look at
often.
It this way,
it's
though.
It's a stupid mistake.
No, then rich people snap and kill three of their kids and drive them into a lake.
By your comment, you want to make a distinction between rich people and poor people. I'll ask you a general question.
You did that, but you did that initially. Though.
No, I said that for the most part. I'll give you an example. Do you think people with low IQs are more successful than people with high IQs?
I'd have to actually meet that's a really, how do you answer
that
question?
In general? I mean, you asked me a general question. So if like,
do I think that people with low IQs are more successful than people
you think,
with high
if you
IQs?
Think you, I'll give you,
I think
make
it's
it
possible.
Even simpler.
Hold on.
If an individual has a low IQ versus an individual with high IQ.
Back up for a second. Let me answer the first question. I think it's possible for somebody with a low IQ to be successful. Yes.
Yes, I do.
And I totally the other way around too. I think geniuses can be fucking nobody in their life.
I say they're very successful. There's more of them.
More
evolutionarily, there's way more dumb people than smart people, right?
Right. Well,
but that's weird because shouldn't the people leaving their kids in the car, shouldn't that group of people shouldn't the hoopleheads be dying out?
They eventually will, but the problem is, like you said, there's many more of them.
I think they're getting stronger, Dougie.
And just so you know, I'm not a big fan. Even though my show is chock full of stereotypes,
right.
I'm not a big fan of labeling people. So when you call me a liberal, I have some conservative ideals. I wouldn't say I lean more liberally than you do. I've seen your post, but I wouldn't say I'm a liberal. And it's just a one way street.
Well, to me, labels are just ways to make an understanding of something that really shouldn't. Because
for yourself, or for
I'm an existentialist in the sense of in philosophy, where I believe anybody can change. You know, at any moment in time, if you're a certain way, you can change that way. So
we had the same discussion on your podcast the first time I was on.
Did we?
Said the same exact thing.
So what do you say? I'm kind of narrow-minded.
No, I'm just saying you said the same exact thing. Right. I just had a deja vu moment twice already.
So my point, I know anything's possible. So you know, a person with no arms and no hands. Obviously, if you have no arms, you wouldn't have hands. But if you had no arms,
weird if you did.
He could have arms
but he's got
a couple
hands.
He could just have a little flipper.
Yeah, like a little thing.
Thalidomide arms.
Exactly, like the old subs they used to use in the like. Anyway, so the science fiction. Anyway, but I'm just saying, anything's possible. So if a girl has no arms can play the piano, anything's possible, right? So smart people, dumb people can become successful. That's not the point.
Sure.
But my question was, would you think that somebody with a low IQ versus somebody with a high IQ, which one of them have more potential of becoming successful?
Depends on the two people, bro.
All right. Well, you're avoiding the question. So
how did I avoid the question? It depends on the two people.
Which one, if somebody has a high IQ versus somebody with a low IQ, which one has more potential of becoming a successful person?
Define successful person for me, please.
Any type of regular profession, ongoing job, have family,
it's
kids.
It's a 50-50 shot in this country, bro.
Right. I think people with a high IQ have more of a chance of being miserable. I think people with high IQs tend to be their heads.
I think we as a society, we're all, in a sense, miserable because we're all searching for the golden coin. We're all trying to, this capitalistic idea.
Some of us aren't looking for a coin at all.
Yeah, well.
Seriously, some of us aren't. I mean, I hate to be the cynic here on the show, but
is a symbol of success.
That's not very cynical, actually.
Well, no, I mean.
That's very, kind of zen.
Well, yeah.
It's the opposite of being cynical.
I don't follow the, to me, success isn't equated in how much money you have. Or how nice your car is.
The coin is a symbol. The coin is like an apple on the tree. It could be a trophy. It could be anything you want. So you think past the part that it's monetary. Think of it as a goal. So if somebody wants to be successful, if they have like a comic, you don't have financial goals. You don't have drives to have rich and drive fancy cars. I get it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have a goal to be a headliner, touring headliner, national headliner.
Just a good perhaps. Comic.
Yeah. Just and a bit of a goal. Right. You know.
Yeah, but okay, let's go back to the B. I think somebody with a low IQ can achieve those goals just as easily as somebody with a high IQ. It depends on the goal. Depends on what you're after. I mean, if you're saying it with personal low IQ, you have a low IQ. Can you be a physicist? Probably not.
Because you're associated. You're distinguishing that if I say a person with low IQ is less of a chance, or let's say is less likely to be as successful as somebody with a high IQ, you're making the assumption that the person with a low IQ can't do something, and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is as a percentage or as a possibility. In other words, the person with a higher IQ has a higher possibility of becoming successful because the IQ allows them to make the decisions, all those things going through time that give them more advantages of becoming successful.
Or have more blocks in their way because they can't be simple about
something. Somebody with a high IQ has the ability to make decisions and stuff like
not
that.
Not necessarily.
That's a definition of somebody with a high IQ.
There are people with high IQs that have the Asperger's that can't function out in society at all.
I think
bro.
It's more well, like
a genius. That's an illness.
I think
sense.
A willingness to work hard is way more important than IQ for success.
There are people that are not successful, but they have an incredible work ethic, and they just trudge every day and do the same old thing. You know, I think of my father. He was an auto mechanic. That's all he did. He went to work every day, showed up, did his thing, and this and that. You know what I mean?
Was he unhappy?
He was married to my mom, so that was a bit of, always
but
yelling
the life
at him.
That he had, did that make him unhappy?
I don't know.
I understand the other part.
Yeah,
I get
that. I mean, are any of us really happy at times? I mean, I don't know how to answer that. We know.
Did he seem happy? Did he seem like fulfilled in his life? Did he say, I have a great family, I think things went pretty good? Did he ever say that to
you? We're going to take a break. So what would be some of the things you would say before we take a break make you happy? What makes you happy, let's say, in a week, a day goes by? These are things that happen. This is why I'm happy.
Yeah. You're asking me that now?
Yeah.
Food. I like to eat.
Right.
If I get food. For me right now, if my son's happy, I'm happy. To see my son laugh and to see him have a good time, that really makes
that brings
me happy.
A lot. Yeah,
that's yeah. I mean,
how about you?
Sorry, it's so sorry.
If I can get a laugh on stage, obviously that makes me happy.
Heroin,
heroin makes me happy. I don't do heroin anymore, but when I did do heroin, that made me very happy.
Yep. Right.
But no, you know what? So on a recovery related thing, like if I go to a meeting and I'm able to like talk to someone, help someone out, that makes me happy.
Sweet,
yeah, nice
stuff like that. Yeah.
Cool. Well, what makes me happy is getting booked.
Getting booked.
Yeah. Yeah. When somebody,
nothing else.
No, that's it. I could be getting oral sex performed to me by 18 beautiful women, all from Sarasota.
But if the weekend's not booked, you're pissed off.
But if I'm not booked, I'm going to sit there with a fucking look on my face.
I can have just as much fun at an open mic as at a book show, because it's about the performance and about the connection.
Oh, I need some money.
Yeah.
Well, the money's nice.
Well, it's my job, so I can't go for free.
Sometimes the most, when I'm on stage, the thing that makes me the happiest is when something comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you make something up on the fly.
Sure.
That to me is, I mean, it's great when you're doing your bit and people are laughing and they like me and you're happy and the crowd, and you know, the place is going to bring you back.
Yeah.
You know, you think everything's good, everything's going well. But that moment when you just do a little, you just kind of do a little improv and do a little ad-lib.
I had that moment at the
bit.
Baseball game the other night.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. There were kids there, dude, like little 8-year-old kids. And I was like, what am I going to talk about? So I'm like, you know, I have a 9-year-old kid. And I'm like, you guys like to fart a lot. I know that. And right away, the kids started giggling. I'm like, this is wonderful. They're like, and then I was like, well, but you know, adults fart too, but we don't put our farts on people. I don't know why my son's got to walk up and put his fart right on my arm. Those kids love that. That it was like I was speaking to them. You know what I mean? And that made me happy.
Crystal Gorgeous, who is your wife.
Yes.
She says ambition is a lot more of a determining factor than IQ.
That's what I said. Yeah. Well, hard work.
Yeah. And that's a big thing.
Ambition.
You know, I would definitely say that. Ambition, dedication, perseverance.
I just noticed that you're shoeless, man. That really freaked me out.
Really?
I just looked down. I'm like, oh, shit, those are Fred Flintstone feet. I didn't even see them.
All right. Well, this is the. Oh, what's going on?
Just do it through it.
This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Chris Gorgeous and Ethan Moore. And we come back, we're going to have things you need to know. Mm. This is actually stuff you really need to know about.
Okay.
Right after this.
All right.
Hey, this is Bob Gullah with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late Dougie Show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Dougie Almeida. This is Danger Studios. I'm here with Chris Gorgeous and Ethan Moore here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Hey.
Danger Studios.
By the way,
dangerous in here.
That's right. We are going to be at Tavolino's tonight. For those of you watching us on Facebook Live, if you're listening to us on the podcast, it probably went to pit past already. Because I probably won't show this till tomorrow. But Facebook Live's getting
you missed
it.
A great show. Everyone crushed.
Yeah.
Come out and see where it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, what's up, Gordon Myers from Backroom Comedy Club watching on Facebook Live?
Gordon.
Oh, hey, Gordon.
What's up, buddy?
And, he has a room out there at the old Four Points.
Yeah, that's a great room.
Yeah, I just did that. The library room.
Right.
Yep. I did his old room as well. I had a lot of fun there, man. That's a cool little room.
Gordon always runs a good room. The only problem I have now is because I work a lot of Asani's.
Yeah.
And he didn't say I can't, but.
Oh, you got the whole club war thing going on?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, and the guy Vizzani's likes me, so he's like, yeah, I'll bring you back more, dude. I respect that if I go, you know, it's like a weird thing, you know, what are you going to do? If you have to, you know, one's a gig that goes from Wednesday to Sunday.
Sure.
And then one's a one night.
Yeah,
so
no, listen,
what are you going
to
do?
I worked Vizzani's with Vic DiBattista about 6-8 months ago, and I'd love to go back there, but it's a, you know, and that, listen, that room's not for everybody either.
No, you got to be clean. You know, you can't, you know, do finger banging jokes.
Oh, what is Vizzani's?
It's a restaurant.
It's a really nice. It looks like a castle in the middle of Port Charlotte. Freestanding building. It's an Italian restaurant. Big place. I've been doing comedy a long time.
Zone room. Port Charlotte. Okay.
Yeah, zone room for a long time. I don't know if it's still a zone room. I think it sort of is. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but I know they sold it. The original owners sold it.
Yeah.
Mark sold it to another gentleman, Eric.
Yeah.
And they took it over like a year ago, I think.
I know. And I was good friends with Mark, too. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know these new people.
Oh, no. I'm going to be there in August. Can't wait.
I was there, but they had just got the place, so we didn't really get to talk. And I had a great weekend. I worked with DiPietro, and he's funny as shit.
That's great. By the way, I was telling you, on July 19th, I had a fallout. Mm-hmm. Carl Remy was supposed to be our headliner, but he took another gig, a better gig. People ask, if I'm doing a one-nighter somewhere, like you have a Tuesday night in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Right? So if I'm booked for that thing, and then, although there's a time issue, right?
Yeah.
If it's a month out and all of a sudden the improv or somebody says, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, I gotta take that gig. I can't, you know. The difference is, let's say, $400 versus $100 in pay. You got to take that.
Yep.
And you'd be up. Now, is there a time where it becomes like I shouldn't, like a week or two before? Is that pretty much a day of, or you know?
You put the booker in an awkward situation to have to find somebody that soon.
Right.
Especially if you already have, like, stuff going out about the show.
Yeah,
right?
You
have your picture on it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And that's why I said usually a month, but if it's usually within a month, I'll either, I'll talk to them, say, if we can find somebody that works for you, if not, don't, you know.
Right.
But, which ended up working out great, and I told Carlos, it's no big deal, because a very funny comic, Al LaBelle.
Okay.
Who was at Coconuts.
All right.
Last week or something like that.
I know Al.
No, you don't know. He's very funny.
So.
And he was there. And Terry Gillespie, the rubber face man.
Yeah.
He reached out to me last week. He goes, hey, Al LaBelle's in town. If anything happens, I go, I'm fucking booked.
Right.
And then two days later, Carl reached out to me. Hey, man, if you don't mind, I got to bail out on that date. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. He's like, well, is that all right? Yeah, it's fucking great. I was like excited because.
Yeah, it works out. It worked out.
Yeah, worked out well. All right.
You get to hang out with Terry now.
Yeah. And you talk about you earlier, we talked about things that happen, like with politics and everything. Mm-hmm. Danny Bill Evans, mm-hmm. from the West Coast, mm-hmm. very funny comic. Mm-hmm. He's a staunch liberal, mm-hmm. and he literally can't stand Trump. He did something on Facebook one time. He goes, fuck off, Dougie, or fuck you, Dougie.
I think I saw that.
And
are funny. You guys make me laugh.
I was like, what the fuck, dude? You know what I mean? And part of me is like, all right.
I'm eating my sandwich on the bench, and they're like chasing each other around the monkey bars and shit.
Right.
I hate you. Your face is stupid. I'm like, I got bologna and cheese. And they're like, I don't like what you said a minute ago. I love it.
And, Facebook's funny, awesome. Though, Coconuts that week,
mm-hmm.
He came and he came up to the show on Wednesday night or Tuesday, Thursday night. He said, hey, man, we're cool and everything. Right? I go, yeah, dude, I don't give a fuck about stuff like that.
Oh, he actually showed up and felt bad about it?
Yeah.
Pussy.
Then he grabbed the mic out of the other guy's hand.
Yeah, yeah. Right? What a pussy.
Called you out.
Shot heroin into his neck. Whatever. Stick to your guns. That's the thing that pissed me off with Kathy Griffin.
Don't apologize. Yeah.
Don't be a pussy. If you're going to do it, and don't apologize. Screw everybody. that's the way it's being run now anyway.
Yeah.
No apologies. I said it. So what? Get over it. Blah, blah. So it needs to be on both sides. When you do something stupid, when you say something, whatever, if you make a comment, stick to your guns, own it, and don't apologize. When you apologize, it negates it. Yeah, you're going to piss people off. So what? Do it.
They'll forget about it after a while.
Well, once you apologize, they actually hate you more.
Right, that's what I'm
both
saying.
Both sides hate you more if you apologize.
Oh, he didn't really mean it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's stupid.
All right, let's get to some things you need to know. I thought this was great. I'm a big wine drinker. You like wine?
I drink rum. I do not.
You don't? You don't, yeah. Like museum spirits. finds cases of 2-century-old wine in its cellar.
Is that still good, 2 centuries?
You, as long as it's, I don't know.
Doesn't turn in the bottle after 2 centuries?
As long as the temperature is, room temperatures are red, I imagine.
I wouldn't want to be the guy to test that shit out.
Yeah. In Union, New Jersey, a restoration project at a New Jersey museum.
Go for it, Chris.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Unearned cases of wine nearly as old as the United States, the Liberty Hall Museum in Union says it discovered almost 3 full cases of Madeira wine.
Was that good?
Fortified wine dating back to 1796.
Madeira is like a little stronger. It's a little high alcohol. It is fortified wine. So,
are you being serious right now?
Yeah.
Are you a wine guy?
So, well, I know about it. I'm an AA, man. I know about alcohol. Come on.
What? You sound like you have to go through a history class of alcohol when you...
Well, I went through the history class before I got into the program, you know? It's fortified wine. It's higher alcohol, higher sugar.
Hmm.
So it probably keeps better.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't want to be the guy that stand there and the guy goes, taste this.
It's more
tell
like
it
port
like.
Or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it probably you could probably age it longer. Yeah. Huh. So I bet that is good.
The museum said the monetary value of the wine cannot be made public. The original 13 colonies and colonies imported about 95% of the wine produced on the Portuguese archipelago and archipelago of Madeira. According to the historical accounts, Bill Schroe, Liberty Hall's director of operations, said Madeira was the best wine to ship during the 18th century. Because it almost never spoils.
Yeah.
Almost never spoils.
Can last a long time. That's worth a lot of money, I bet you.
Yeah. The museum, originally constructed in 1760, was built as a country home for the New York lawyer William Livingston.
They'll save that for some smart person.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't say. I just know that if wine is kept well, sometimes the cork can go bad. You know.
I don't know. I don't know about wine. I don't. I don't drink beer, wine, or champagne.
Do you have a story about aging pot? Because Chris could get into that one.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Any pot with possible mold on it. This pot is from the Ottoman Empire.
Let me see if I can pull anything up.
It does go bad. You don't have to pull it up. I know it does.
It does get
right
dried
now.
Out.
Yep. It's like, I've been through this, man.
I'm an N.A. I know.
He's an N.A. He knows about it.
You try to light it up, and it just like a
no,
fuse.
It gets moldy if it's not. Yeah,
I've had pot go bad on me
yeah,
before.
Yeah, it goes yeah. bad.
How long
I still
that
smoked it.
Take?
It's an organic plant. What's that?
How long?
Oh, it depends on where you live. I mean, right. If it's more humid.
In Florida, it goes bad fast.
Yeah, it can get really
moldy. I still smoked it, by the way.
Who wouldn't? I would. Like a little penicillin, what the hell?
Yeah. Here's something you need to know. One of the biggest icebergs in recorded history just broke loose from Antarctica.
I saw that story, yeah.
Yeah.
The liberals were right.
The liberals were right. Well, you know, like somebody, some hoople head is going to say, oh, see, this is what happened. Trump didn't sign that accord.
Why is he a hoople head?
Yeah, that's right. It was
because
from the
you're
accord.
Making that association that this is why the thing broke off, because that thing wasn't signed. That's a hoople head move.
It actually broke off of an existing ice shelf that's already broken off. So
yeah.
Not like it's going to add to the sea level, because the sea level has already been added to by the ice shelf that it broke
right.
off.
Exactly.
And it's the size of like a state.
Yeah, it's like Rhode Island
it's
or something.
Ridiculous.
Scientists announced Wednesday that much of the anticipated break at the Larsen Sea ice shelf in Antarctica has occurred, unleashing a massive iceberg that is more than 2,200 square miles in area and weighs a trillion tons, much like me after a night of pizza.
Pizza, which you carry on
I
you,
do.
Readily available.
Because he's Italian.
I love pizza. I usually keep it in the backseat of my Trans Am. In other words, the iceberg, among the largest in recorded history, to splinter off Antarctica. Maybe they should like get some tugboats and push it to like Africa. And, like, you know, solve the drought problem
cool
there.
Cool it down.
In Australia and shit.
Hey, they should take it here, man. It's too hot. Well, right, guys? It's hot in Florida.
No, they need it over
jokes.
There. They need it there in Arizona better.
We could use that iceberg here.
Right? The giant fan. So everyone knows that global warming is happening, right? I got a buddy who's in the wine industry, and he's like, we all know. All the economic activity around.
I don't think people disagree that there's global warming. I think where it comes out of it, how much of it's man-made, how much is it just
natural?
Like,
pretty much all of it,
you know,
is man-made.
That's kind of, I don't know. I mean,
it's not settled science, I mean, Dougie says.
No, I'm not. Oh, I'm not saying.
I could say what he's going to say before.
No,
he says it.
See, there you go. That's just something thinking.
That's true.
No, it isn't. You don't know what I'm going to say. How can you say what I'm going to say?
I know the conservative talking points, and you started out with an
because you're molding me into somebody else, and you're not giving me a chance to. No, I believe whether or not I think man I think man's contributing to a lot of the issues on this. You know the.
What about global warming? Is it contributing to global warming?
I think it contributes, but I don't think it's the main factor. I don't think
anybody's saying it's the main factor.
No, whether it's 1%, 2%, 4%, 8%,
like
I don't
70%.
Know. I don't believe that.
Why don't you believe that? Because
when I look at the cosmos and I look at the sun flares and the way the sun expands and the heat and the adjustments, and we could be in a different orbit around the sun, and there's all kinds of things that can cause it.
But they measure all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I know that. And if you remember, there's been junior ice ages, and there's been other periods of time. There's a lot of scientists that say that we are not just going. It's not just getting warmer, but it's now this trend is going to cause it to get cooler. In other words,
not a lot of scientists are.
Well,
saying that.
They're saying that they say there could.
How many?
There's a lot of people that say there could be an ice age before because
the Shell answer man.
When you say a lot of them, how many are a lot?
No, I'm eight? You can read both on both sides of the fence.
The consensus is up to like 98%.
No, there's scientists that believe on both of that. That in other words, you can have.
I'm Dr. Bob Exxon, and I have some things to say about this.
You can have, you know, like one side. One
it's not settled science.
On one side of the globe, you know, there's melting ice sheets, but on the other side, there's growing ice sheets.
What?
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
There's a bigger problem. The bigger problem is the potential of the Earth shifting off its polar axis. In other words, it could tilt and stuff like that. Which a lot of people say that may have caused the deluge and the floods that were in all the religious books that people talked about. And almost every, you know, the floods caused because the Earth just kind of changed its little way and rotated.
What about now, though?
Well, listen, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like George Carlin.
You think it's a tilting of the axis that's causing.
No, I'm saying that
anomalies.
If two major volcanoes erupted, mm-hmm. you know, there would be no the heating would be an issue anymore. Then you wouldn't get any sun. Everything's going to dry out, and there's not going to be vegetation. There's all kinds of things that can happen.
Right, but that's
you
not
can't
happening.
Blame, you can't. But it, well, you see a lot more volcanic activity. You're
but not
seeing,
on the scale that you're talking about.
No, but it could. Right. Just like we haven't seen the right. sun burn a fucking solar flare through our ground yet either. But, we haven't seen the moon crash into the earth either. So just to say something hasn't happened yet doesn't make it's not possible of happening.
Right. So global warming could be happening, right?
It is happening. I'm saying it is happening.
And it could be man-made. It is.
I don't think it's man-made.
The Earth is.
I don't think global warming is man-made.
Most scientists say it is, though.
Yeah. No, here's not all scientists say it's all man-made.
A majority, over 70% of them do.
No.
And here's the thing, Dougie.
Not true.
Well, okay, but you're saying that, but you're not a scientist.
I read on global warming all the time. And what I found is that 70% that the 70% of scientists have not proven it's man-made. Now they prove they say how much of it's contributed by man. A lot of this, over 70% man has something to do with it.
Even
but to say
even
it's
if it was
only
2%,
factor,
wouldn't that be enough to do something about it? Even
I think,
if it was a
2% chance. I think things are being done. Like, for example, the use of the advancements in electricity.
The climate agreement.
Right. Yeah, because, listen, you think you want the government to get involved with that?
I do. I totally do.
I don't. I think big
Why?
Business, because big business is going to take a hand of that anyway.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Well, it's happening.
You mean like Exxon? They're going to do they're
No,
gonna get
it's happening. No, like solar, the people, like, they got Elon Musk with that. You got these solar panels. You got these big solar farms that are being solar energy is being built.
Yeah,
the advancement of battery systems, electric versus
gas
and fossil fuels.
You would agree that we need to cut down our carbon footprint on the planet. Right?
I'm not going to be a realist, Chris. I'm going to say there's too many people on this earth, and that's why you have these issues.
Yeah, but you can't kill people, so you can't get rid of the people.
You can't kill them.
Hoople heads, we got
to
kill them.
And you sure as hell can't re-educate all of them to stop fucking, stop flying corporate airplanes and stop driving to the gas station three miles away. We could take a bike.
Yeah,
you could tell a lot of people could do a lot of different things, but they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So, the fact is overpopulation is a big problem with not just global warming. The Earth population is issues with viruses, the problem with like the Ebola, like all these things developing, the potential for plagues and a mass extinction.
I think you're right, though, Dougie, in the sense that, like, it doesn't matter to some extent what the government does. I mean, big business is moving in the direction of making green energy no matter what.
It's going to happen.
But it would be nice if we could get a little help from our government instead of letting China and India and the other countries take the lead on that.
Well, they're not taking the lead.
They are.
They're not. China and India are the two biggest polluters in the world.
And China's
don't have to do anything with that accord.
But they are.
That accord doesn't hold anybody accountable for anything.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that China is actually right now the most aggressive in going green energy
right
now.
Well, they have to. If anything, their people are dying, even within their own country.
Okay, but
it's not.
We're not, though. We're going in the opposite direction.
We're going to lose jobs to China because of that.
You're going in the opposite direction. There's still the advancement of clean energy.
You go in the opposite direction when you take away restrictions on companies that produce dirty energy and then allow them to do whatever the hell they want, which is what's happening right now.
Well, you got to take away some regulations on top of regulations, over-regulation, but we'll see what happens. And there's got to be regulations for all that kind of stuff, but from the outside in, you got to look at over-regulation.
I dreaded this the whole drive over. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want to talk. Because I like Dougie, and I like his room, but
maybe
be on further opposite ends of the spectrum.
Let me suggest.
Except that I like guns. He might like guns. I don't know.
I'm a big gun.
I am too. I love guns.
I like controversy. So this is kind of fun.
I have an AR-15, a Smith & Wesson Sport too.
What's your AR-15 brand? Which one do you?
I just said Smith & Wesson.
Smith & Wesson.
Yeah. And I got a Shield Smith & Wesson 9mm, and then I have a 1955 Romanian Mosin Nagant. M44 carbine.
Yeah. I got a Bushman AR-15.
Oh, okay.
And I got a hand pump shotgun for the house.
For the house?
Yeah.
Just for the backyard and around?
Right, and it's loaded up in the closet, ready to go if somebody wants to come in the house.
But you're a martial artist. You don't need any of that.
Well, listen, I'll beat him in the head first with it.
With the gun?
Yeah, fuck yeah. It's got the muzzle, the nice rigid muzzle there.
I have a friend who's a very very conservative comic, and I was in the military. I'm a vet, and he knows this. But I said, a couple months ago, I got a little bit of cash on hand. I thought, I'm going to get a couple of guns. So I went to the gun show, and I told him I went to the gun show. And he's like, you what? You went to the gun show? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, what'd you do that for? And I'm like, I went to buy some guns, man. I got a handgun. And he goes, aw, good for you. Like I had saved a puppy. You know what I mean? Like right. It was so funny, dude. I'm like, holy crapola, dude.
I don't know. People always want to paint you with this like one brush. That's know what I mean? So it's like if you think this way, like I'm not really a liberal too. That's the other thing too. Like I'm a pretty much a centrist.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more on the libertarian side, but I mean, I also like believe the scientists. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of like where I come out and all that stuff.
I went to school for.
I'm like I'm kind of an elitist. You know,
right.
Like
an elitist.
Yeah. Like I read the New York Times and stuff, and I'm like, this makes sense.
I like heroin.
Yeah, and I enjoy a nice cup of heroin now and again. You know,
here's another something you should know.
That's awesome.
Scientists just teleported an
object. My butler bring it.
Scientists just teleported an object into space for the first time.
They did teleport an object?
Climate scientist? Wait.
No, those useful fucks.
Teleporting
fucks.
Scientist.
Yeah.
What was the object?
It's a giant iceberg.
Scientists have successfully teleported an object from Earth to space for the first time, paving the way for more ambitious and futuristic breakthroughs. A team of researchers in China sent a photon.
See, they're on point.
From the ground to an orbiting satellite more than 300 miles above through a process known as quantum entanglement.
Nice.
According to the MIT technology.
That sounds so sketchy, dude. Quantum entanglement.
Quantum entanglement.
Doesn't that sound like if they do that wrong, everybody's life will just suck into a little pinhole and disappear? Right. You know what I mean?
It sounds like one proton's going to come home and catch another proton in bed with another proton.
Well, that's the Italian brain that you got working there. Maya has real fear. We could all die.
It's the farthest distance tested so far in teleportation experiments. Their work was published online recently. For about a month, the scientists beamed up millions of photons from their ground station in Tibet to the low-orbiting satellite. They were successful in more than 900 cases.
Hmm.
Chinese scientists did that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we are really losing ground.
No, we do shit like that.
What
We had the collider thing, didn't
that's
we?
That's in
collider
Switzerland
thing?
Or something.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, but Americans were involved in that project, though.
We haven't done anything since the we built the bomb.
No.
A lot of people thought that the collider, the what's it called again?
The Large Hadron
Collider. The Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
They thought that was going to open up a wormhole.
I've read stories that it actually did.
Really?
Yeah, there's like conspiracy theories out there that it actually happened and that there's rips in the time-space continuum.
Whoa.
Not related to the election, I might add. Just completely unrelated to the election.
By the way, they mentioned that, you know, because they had this the proven theory of how things rays bend. Like last year they found out that actually they saw the ripple effects and radio waves and shit and all this kind of stuff. And they think that might be. And there was even other conspiracy theorists that thought, you know, the problem with these asteroids that you know there'd be that thing is causing some sort of pull, you know, to
pulling
bring
asteroids?
More asteroids towards us.
But all that.
Well, you know, listen.
Are there asteroids bearing down on us?
Well, I read a story recently last week, couple weeks ago that they are looking at the possibility that we may get more in the meteor storm that's coming up, the Kuiper meteor, whatever it is.
It's
probably getting worse and worse because we are now, there's been activity like a pools and, you know, in a billiard table. Things are starting to get crowded up and they're expecting and seeing more. Now, it's a question of whether we have more people looking up at the sky now because of the fear of it. You know, that's why they're seeing a lot of more of these near misses that they're seeing more and more of because people are looking up, you know, but it's a matter of time.
Hmm.
Mike Sweeney says, Doug is sponsored by matzahs by Streets for unlivable experience of a lifetime. Thanks, buddy.
Unleavened?
What? Yeah. I'm trying to read it.
Unleavened bread.
Yeah.
A little biblical reference.
Unleavened bread.
Right,
there you go.
Right.
Thank you.
No yeast in that.
Well, listen, again.
No room for
it's good
no
that they
the
It's
yeast.
Good that they did that. You know,
they teleport.
Because, listen, I'm on the road a lot, so I'd rather teleport. Wouldn't it be great to teleport?
Nope.
You don't want to teleport?
I don't want any part of that
Do you enjoy the road?
Yeah, I enjoy the road. I don't enjoy being in the car for 4 hours or 5 hours.
No?
But, look, I love doing comedy, dude, and I worked in medicine for 10 years, and even though, you know, sometimes the booking's sketchy, the fact that this is my job and I get to be home with my kid, you can't beat that, dude.
Sure.
I take care of vets when I'm not doing gigs, so I have a little side job that I do, which is a lot of fulfilling and a little spiritual. You know, I give back to the boys. Not that I'm a big nationalist, but I was in the military, so I feel a kind of connection to these guys.
What branch?
I was in the Navy.
Cool.
Yeah, I was a Navy corpsman. But and a lot of them, I got Army guys and Air Force guys. I got a merchant marine that I take care of. He's a trip. That guy had sex with every woman in Europe, this guy.
That's why you become a merchant marine, isn't
it? Jesus Christ. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it. Woody, I only say this thing. Woody from North Carolina, from the mountains of North Carolina, and just, I'm like, you know, he just been through a few wives and just was never home. And he's just like, I tried to get a hold of anything I could get a hold of. Egypt, Tibet, anywhere he was at. Just trying to peg it. Like, Jesus, Woody.
It's funny.
He did. Some guys just like, that's what I'm going to do. That's my mission in life.
Speaking of a guy's mission, the last story you need to know, and this is less important to me than the other ones we already did, except for... And probably
those are really important to you?
Well, you know, the ice shelf breaking and then, you know, being able to teleport, that's pretty cool stuff, you know. But here's a story. Woman whose husband died after she banished him to a sofa has found love again with his brother.
What, she banished him to a sofa?
Yeah, they got, like, in other words, this
like
guy.
Like in Siberia?
And
something?
He did that?
Yeah, he
was
died.
Like, okay.
He choked that night.
So she sent him to the sofa, and he was only there for a night, and he died.
Yeah.
What a pussy. Wait, the sofa killed him in one night.
Ashley Morrell, 33, had a row with her husband, Mikey, 36, a carpet cleaner.
Okay, they're a lot younger than I thought.
About his long working hours after he returned home late from a 16-hour shift. The mother of three told him to sleep on the sofa after the argument, but when she woke up the next morning, she discovered that he was dead.
He got lucky.
Wow. That was some hard work he was doing.
That's lucky, too, that he got out of the whole deal. What a bitch.
Yeah.
16 hours? Not near enough, you lazy son of a bitch. You won't be sleeping in our comfortable bed tonight. You can go on the couch.
They said he died of choking in his sleep, but it's still inconclusive.
He choked himself, let's be honest.
She later learned that he had been working extra hours to earn enough money to take her to Prague for her wedding.
and she was mad.
Yeah.
She killed her on vacation.
Think about this guy. He's busting his ass to take his old lady to something nice for her.
Not realizing she's a bitch.
Yeah. And he must have
had an inkling.
What a bitch.
Well, sometimes you ever been in a relationship where you know she's a bitch, but you got to do what you got to do, man. You're just with her and, like, you know, you think, like, everybody's wrong. Chris and Ashley had been through so much, but they have really been there for each other. Some people said it's stranger how from something so awful, something good can happen. They are really happy together.
How is that good?
Her brother.
There must have been.
I mean, isn't that a big
on.
That was a middle. That was a thing in World War II. Like if somebody was married, and then the husband died in war, sometimes the brother would come and.
That's creepy.
Yeah, isn't it?
Isn't that from the Bible too?
Is it?
Doesn't it say something like that where you're supposed to marry the person to keep the family going?
That's not. No, I don't like the sound of that at all.
Yeah, I remember there's something in the old text.
No, start clean. Go outside.
By the way, I have an update on that story. The brother's dead. So
What, the brother she married? Are you serious?
No,
I was going to say, they both died? How awesome is that? The universe is like, bitch, boom, bitch,
black,
boom.
Black Widow. Do not marry this woman.
Yeah, she banished the other brother to a recliner.
Don't go to the couch. Go to the recliner. Sit up. I don't want you to lay down. I can't lose another one of you.
That's great.
Have no more brothers.
I know her. Where's your sister? No! You go to the pool.
If he fucking dies, I'm not going to be a lesbian.
Jesus.
Moving into second cousins now.
That's right.
You know?
This is the Wake Up Play with Dougie show. It's Wednesday night here. Don't forget, Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight at Tavolino's in Coral Springs.
Yeah.
Show starts at 8:15. It only costs $10. Ethan Moore's doing a guest spot. Chris Gorgeous is your headliner.
Yep.
And plus Pierre is our feature, and I'll be your host tonight. Just $10. Call 954-509-0046 Facebook and reserve your seat. We come back here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It'll be time for Straight for the Headlines. That's right after this.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. Not stuff you need to know. This is funny shit. Well, it better be. Teen blasted fuck the police during slain officer's funeral in New York. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I would have gone with like Amazing Grace or something, you know? Like, it's a bad selection for the...
That was the cop in New York, the black woman that was killed and slain in her car. Where de Blasio, we also caught some heat, the mayor of New York, caught some heat because after attending her funeral, or whatever she had a ceremony for her. He goes to Germany and protests America and G20. Well, are you a fan of Bill de Blasio?
Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York?
Yeah.
A fan?
Yeah, you like him?
I don't really know him.
Yeah, I don't know much about the guy.
Yeah.
He's the mayor, right?
police hate him in New York.
The police hate him?
Yeah, because he's not very, he's
taking
just,
the side of the people.
He's a liberal cuck. I think that's what you're trying to say, Dougie. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's a liberal.
If he was a liberal, fuck, I'd call him a liberal. But he is. Remember, it was like during he appeared on. I guess it was some with Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. They were in New York somewhere.
Okay,
and he was the guy. He goes, "Well, I'm sorry, I'm late, but I'm on DP time," and he got a lot of
time?
Yeah,
what does that
dark
mean?
People time.
What is that? What that means?
Yeah.
I thought it was CP time.
No. I know, you know, whatever it is, black, dark people. I mean, he made the comment.
An actual statement?
Yes. Look it up. Bill de Blasio in front of Hillary Clinton. Okay. And then the actor goes, "Oh, I don't think that's appropriate." And even Hillary was trying to dance around what he said. And,
I never heard of that.
Look it up. Yeah.
Maybe it was double penetration.
No, he, it was, I'm trying to remember, was that, it wasn't, I'm thinking it was like from the play, the famous play, not Madison.
The famous racist play?
No. The fucking guy's putting murder on. What's the play in New York that everybody's paying?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. It looked like that because they were dressed, the guy was dressed in that old, but they were doing something for.
Are you sure he meant dark people? Did anybody
ask
him?
He did DP time. Yeah, it was.
But
it was,
did somebody ask him?
Maybe yeah,
he meant
it was
something else.
Look it up. But he basically.
Oh, I certainly will.
He basically, they were doing something. Him and Hillary were there, and then they were on stage with the actors from something. And they were doing some stupid little bit they were trying to do, and he mentioned this to try to be funny, and nobody there thought it was funny.
Dumb politician time.
Yeah. Politicians aren't comics. Don't use jokes.
Director of photography.
A Bronx teen defiantly blasted
NW. Did you just say politicians aren't comedians? Don't do jokes?
Yeah.
You tell
Come
your president
on.
That.
What about the president? He's
you
like the greatest stand-up comic ever.
Yeah. Slips jokes in there all the
By
time.
By the way,
he's cracking jokes.
I'm not a fan of Trump, but I love his tweets, man. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
He's funny.
I don't know what anybody's expecting. The guy was a billionaire guy that just ran. What do you expect him to be? He's a bull in a china shop. Why am I surprised?
It's hilarious.
I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that people are allowing it. That's what I'm surprised about.
What are you going to do? There's nothing.
Impeach his ass
it
and throw his ass
Good luck with that. Even what happened with his son now, there'll be a fine, but that's about it. Bronx teen defiantly blasted NWA song Fuck the Police out the third floor apartment windows on Tuesday.
Yeah!
As thousands of cops were gathered below to mourn the slain cop Mazozis Familia.
Screw him too!
She was a girl.
Oh, I don't know.
Prompting a house call. 20 officers went to the door. The kid's apartment.
Because of the music?
Yeah, the young man. Yeah, in the middle of her. I mean, how disrespectful is that in the middle of a fucking a funeral service?
They're having it in the street?
It's a cop, so they're having it outside, the thing. So he's blasting it out the thing.
Was he in his apartment doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, he lives there.
Did they come to tell him how much they...
Right, so disrespectful is okay.
Did they come to say that they respected his freedom of speech?
The young
is that
man,
why they knocked on the door?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. Was playing satisfying to play. The young man who identified himself only as Julian Rodriguez, 16, said it was satisfying to play the song on repeat from his apartment on the 188th Street. Claiming that his older brother and best friend were unjustifiably killed by cops.
Okay, so he had a reason to be
We have to still see if that happened. Yeah. People say that they got good credit, then you find out
you're right.
Like,
he was probably lying.
Well, I'm not saying.
About his dead relatives.
I'm saying, we'll see,
We'll see.
It still does. It's still disrespect. I mean, he didn't know the cop.
Wait.
This cop. I like cops. I trained with cops. I used to train cops.
My mother was a police officer.
I think
for
what
20
they
years.
Do. I think what they do is selfless. And I think that that I would never become a cop. I think that's aside from joining the military and committing yourself, that's you're giving yourself. And I think those people deal with shit all the time. Mm-hmm. And I could see why they'd get. Tarnished from it, from being in dealing with shit
tarnished
all the time.
Or take advantage of the power that
When you take a one percentile of a group and then try to blast them as all that, that's why I don't favor that. There's bad cops.
Yeah, but you can't ignore that 1% either.
No, but that's why they got to have training and all that kind of shit. Yeah, but you don't turn
when
against.
When will that happen exactly?
It's been happening. Oh, there's more training involved. Matter of fact, because I used to train cops with PR-24s and shit. I had to call
the PR-24.
It's the night stick. It's a Tomfa stick in martial arts.
Whatever happened to the taser? How come they don't use that anymore?
Well, sometimes that doesn't work. If you ever seen
a more powerful taser, or is that dangerous?
It does, and then you kill them, and now you might as well be shooting a gun. So it's always easier for somebody to say, "Why didn't somebody shoot somebody in the leg? Why didn't
it's
somebody?"
It's not
do
easy
this?
To say that, but it's a valid question.
It isn't. Well, until you've actually been in that scenario, like I've been with police, I've seen a guy get tasers. I've seen a guy. I worked security details with like a black watch type scenario when I was in my 20s, and for a few years, and I've seen people get shot and keep coming. So when your life is threatened and you got to make a choice, you know, am I going to pull out my fucking taser or am I going to pull out a gun when this guy's coming at me? He's 300. I'm going to shoot the motherfucker. And I don't have any sympathy. I don't have that much sympathy for bad people doing bad things.
What about people that are sitting in their cars? I haven't done anything wrong.
I mean, like this cop who was ambushed and shot in the back of the head while she was in
the
car?
Yeah, him too. But what about the people that don't have guns that are in their car and they get shot by police officers?
Every case by case situation, sure, by all means. Sure. You know, okay, good. Then right, I think the fair. Cop gets fired. I actually said but that the cop's pension, the cop's pension should go to that family.
The reason that the guy blasted fucked the police out the window is because it's not happening, Dougie. They're not getting pressed. Well, those people are getting off.
Yeah, I think
they are. Look at the cases.
I don't think they're all getting off. I think
I didn't say all. I said a lot of them.
There's people getting off, and that's just like Casey Anthony got off. That was bad attorney. You know, when the attorney tries to come out with a. Well, not only that, but they could have went for a manslaughter case.
How? With nobody. How can they prove
it? So it doesn't matter, but you can definitely.
It doesn't matter. The court of law matters.
It is easier to prove manslaughter than this second-degree murder.
Well, whatever.
And the fact that they didn't put it on there, that's why she went free. Had they had that on there, have more of a case for manslaughter.
They had no proof of any murder or manslaughter.
But
they don't even know how she died.
Yeah. That's why people that said that's the one thing that could have probably helped her get convicted. They were going for the big case. They wanted to nail her for murder too.
I don't think they would have got manslaughter.
There's a lot of tension between police and the citizenry in this country right now.
Huge.
And I think the answer is we need to have fewer laws.
I thought you were going to say heroin.
Yes, we should legalize heroin. If we legalize drugs and the drug war, less reason for cops to stop you.
Yeah.
Right. Less conflicts between people. And when I'm the governor of Florida, I will legalize all drugs. I'll get rid of like half the cops because you don't have anything to do anymore. And we'll let all those people out of prison who are in jail for drugs.
I can't wait to see what that
that's what we're going to do.
About 20 officers went up to the apartment to try to halt the music. The one cop speaking to the teen in Spanish about his own time growing up as a Latino in the city, law enforcement sources said. The teen told the Post that he eventually apologized for the cops, but only because the building superintendent threatened to toss his family out of their home if he didn't.
I wouldn't apologize for anything.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I listen to my music. I didn't know you guys were down there.
My playlist was stuck on repeat, you know?
Yeah, I like the song.
I like NWA.
Right. It's my favorite song.
This is America. I can play whatever I want.
And the only reason I'm turning it off is because the landlord said I'd get kicked out. Yeah. Otherwise,
So real world hits our mental thoughts.
Those cops came up and they were like, sir, I salute your right to free speech. I don't agree with it, but I'm here to defend it to the death.
Yeah, and the owner has the right to throw her out, too. Here's another story. Mom wants apology over a McDonald's slide covered in poop.
A McDonald's what?
Slide, like in the playground.
Oh, yeah.
Manchester, New Hampshire. A woman says her 5-year-old son came down a slide at a McDonald's playground in New Hampshire covered in poop.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I guess we know where the Hamburglar was.
Jesus criminy.
Justina Whitmore took to Facebook to recount the incident and complain. I'm sure the son wasn't happy about that. And complained that the staff at a Manchester McDonald's didn't take the problem seriously and ignored her pleas for help.
Help?
What do you want me to do? You want me to wipe your kid's ass?
Well, or give her something to clean it with.
There's another victim.
Help! The slide is covered in shit.
That's another thing. People expect, it's like somebody gets a flat tire. They got to go, fix it. Whitmore says she was eating when her son came over, covered in human waste. She says he had been playing tag with a boy.
Yes, he did.
Who had a soiled diaper.
I bet he did.
The restaurant owner told the Associated Press on Wednesday that looked into this matter and have taken all appropriate internal actions as well as reiterated proper protocol with our team.
We hose down the slide and the kid.
Right. Here's my message to the mom. You put your kid in a slide like that at McDonald's, you take your chances.
I agree.
You got no reason to complain. What are they supposed to have, like a security guard there 24 hours a day to stop a kid if they've got a loaded diaper?
If you're using McDonald's slide as daycare, then you
got to accept some of the risks.
You got what you pay for at McDonald's in a lot of different ways.
Mike Sweeney says somebody should order a chocolate McFlurry.
Yeah. Somebody did order a chocolate McFlurry.
Somebody ordered too many of them. Kids
also,
shit his diaper.
Also, a message to the other lady. Why don't you keep track of your kid's ass? How about that? How about you keep track of whether your kid's got a loaded diaper?
Next week, she's planning to leave him in the hot car.
This is such a victim thing. Like people are victims. Like, be responsible. That shit happens. You know, you're at a playground. Some kid shit his pants. McDonald's can't be out there watching the fucking slide all day.
See, was my statement, was my response liberal or was it conservative?
I don't know. I haven't been labeling that kind of stuff.
I feel like everyone agrees on this one.
Yeah, well,
you're full of shit.
You don't know me. You don't know anything about me.
I know nothing about you. I know a few things about you.
You don't know anything about me so far. Just on most of the stuff you said that you don't know me. Which is fine. You've only seen me on three or four occasions. the last few years.
You're telling me that everything you put on Facebook isn't not
well,
you?
But it doesn't. Yeah, in other words, I make comments and things like that. I'm Republican. I'm conservative.
I don't know you intimately, right, but I do have some information.
You wouldn't want to be a blind man up in front of an elephant grabbing the trunk and saying, I know what an elephant is
now. It's a bit different.
No, that isn't, because
I didn't show up here blind to your house.
It's an analogy. In other words, to know somebody, there's a lot more depth to somebody than just a post on Facebook. No. You know what I mean?
Listen,
that's an analogy. Unlike the gold, you made the assumption that by me saying the gold coin was it's all about money. It's not. It's about the achievement of reaching something.
I just find I find your analogy interesting. You use coin. You could use any other analogy.
I could use whatever
prize
I want
or goal, but you said coin.
Yeah.
To me, that says a lot.
Well, no, it says your that's something I related was, to. It's something I related to.
I know it is. Yes.
So whether I relate to that, and you know, I mean, but that doesn't that, you know, to critique the well, you should use this or that.
No, I didn't say you should use anything. Oh, I just said it made a statement.
I just think it's interesting that this is the first story where we're all in agreement. This woman's an idiot.
Yeah. No.
Right.
Both parents are idiots.
Yeah.
Clean up your son's ass.
Hooplehead.
What do you want the people from McDonald's to do?
Well,
these people aren't dealing with crisis. These, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're $4.50 an hour. Come on.
To be fair, how long was the poop on the slide? Was it like just happened?
Yeah. Was it fresh?
Yeah.
Nothing at McDonald's is fresh. Right, so right. I don't think so.
Well, this is the only thing at McDonald's that day was fresh, the shit on the slide.
I mean, if it's been there for like a half a day and nobody bothered to clean it up, eventually somebody's going to notice that. And if you're not doing it, you're a lazy bastard at McDonald's.
Yeah. But if it's that old, and especially if it's outside, it probably got crusty. It probably
flakes off. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like old cocoa or something. from an ice cream cone.
You don't know anything about what I like in my poop, Dougie. Nothing. Nothing.
Listen, I'm just happy. Like my dog, who doesn't walk right now. Oh. You know, when she poops, it's all hard. So when she ever does poop in the bed, it's like just pulling.
Poop
out.
In the bed?
Yeah, like
oh,
you know.
Gross.
Good God!
Yeah,
what?
You know what I mean?
That's why I don't have animals, dude.
Oh man, I don't either.
No way.
Here's a story: woman nabbed for drugs, demands them back, and is rearrested.
Wait,
that was actually me in drag.
Oh, it does look like you.
Before you went to the thing, the alcoholics. She bought drugs.
She got caught with drugs.
Right. Asked for them back.
And then got out.
They gave them to her back?
No, she wanted them back.
Okay.
Like Salem, New Hampshire, authorities say a New Hampshire woman arrested for drug possession returned to the police station to demand the drugs be returned to her.
Yeah.
And she was rearrested.
Why would she be rearrested?
Well, she
was rearrested because she got different drugs or the same drugs?
She went back for the drugs. She wanted them back.
Would they arrest her for that?
We have to see what transpired.
Yeah, she probably got into a fight with him or something.
She probably demanded it, or she goes, you want to give it back? They gave it back to her, and then they arrested her for possession again.
No way.
Can they do that?
No,
it's got to be like entrapment or something.
Yeah, that would never work.
Here's your drugs back. We arrest you again and charge you. Here they are again. Here's another 10 years.
All night long. 80 charges.
Now, if she was stupid enough to keep taking the drugs, well, whose fault would that be?
The cop's fault.
She was high, though. A drug addict taking drugs. I mean, come on.
An officer told 26-year-old Emily Morin of Concord he wouldn't return the Suboxone.
Oh, I know what that
so it's
is.
A prescription drug.
Suboxone is what you use to get off heroin.
Get off drugs.
But it kind of gets you high, though.
So she wanted, was it her prescription?
Highly addicted substance that could be used to treat heroin addiction. It was seized as evidence during the arrest stemming from a shoplifting incident on Tuesday.
Okay, but was it hers, I wonder?
The officer said he saw Morin get into her car and start to drive away. Earlier, police determined that Morin's license and registration were suspended. She was arrested after a struggle. Morin was being arraigned Wednesday on charges of driving after suspension, breach of bail and resisting arrest in addition to drug and willful concealment of charges.
See, that's some low bottom stuff, because when you get to the point where you're using like methadone and Suboxone, which I was at that point too, like these are not the fun ones. You know what I mean? If you're just like, I just don't want to be sick anymore.
Right.
Yeah, so she was pretty desperate straits, I'd say.
But those are usually prescribed. I wonder if she had a prescription.
You can buy them on the street, I'll tell you that much. Oh, you can buy Suboxone and methadone.
I believe that, but I wonder.
I couldn't imagine you get arrested if you have, like, if I have Vicodin and it's my prescription, I'm driving around with it, it can't be.
No, I'm just wondering, like, the scenario where she would ask for them back. She must have said,
I have a prescription.
And they're mine, And then she demanded, and technically, she's right, they can't keep her prescription.
They gave her back and found out she didn't have a prescription and arrested her. Again.
Who the hell knows?
I'm doubting.
Crazy times.
Exactly.
We're teleporting stuff into space. The icicles are falling. Women are getting arrested for the same drugs twice. What's happening?
Dougie and I don't even know each other. We don't even know each other.
Who's that guy sitting across the table from me?
Every single slide at McDonald's is covered in shit. At every single McDonald's across this great nation.
Now, speaking of shit and monkeys, Because a lot of times you associate monkeys with shit, monkey shit, right? Is that an expression?
You're nine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, sometimes. No monkeying around. Court weighs if animal owns its selfie. I don't know if you remember a few months ago, there was a monkey that took a selfie of itself and it went viral.
Okay.
You remember that picture?
Did he figure out how to push the button on the phone? He had no idea what he was doing.
Accidentally?
Yeah.
No, he was all like, what? He did the pursed lips.
Duck face?
Yeah, duck face.
That's it.
San Francisco, a curious monkey with a toothy grin. A knack for pressing a camera button was back in the spotlight on Wednesday as a federal appeals court heard arguments on whether an animal can hold a copyright to selfie photos.
Oh, my God. This country is ridiculous.
A 45-minute full of hoople heads.
They're 45, in court over that.
A 45-minute hearing before a three-judge panel. For the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco attracted crowds of law students, blah, blah, blah. Andrew Dewey, attorney of British nature photographer David Slater, said monkey see, monkey sue. Is not good law under any federal act. Naruto is a free-living crested macaque. Macaque?
Macaca,
macaca,
yes, macaca? Like that.
Is it a bird?
Macaca, M-A-C-A-Q-U-U.
Oh, that's a monkey.
It's a type of monkey, yeah.
With that colorful face. Who
they're cooler than Reese's monkeys.
Yeah. There's a bunch. We just had a story yesterday. A bunch of Reese's monkeys attacked this house in Ocala. Like 50 fucking rabid monkeys went by this guy's house in Ocala.
Took selfies.
Yeah, took a bunch of selfies. Tried to steal his cable. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Shit on his slide.
Suits later.
Can you imagine? What's that clicking noise? It's a bunch of monkeys taking selfies.
Let's see. It was published book Wildlife.
Tuggy's going to stab
people of the People of the Ethical Treatment, PETA, Suits Slater and San Francisco-based self-publishing company Blurb, which published a book called Wildlife Personalities that includes the monkey selfie for copyright infringement.
If the monkey can't hire the lawyer himself and sue them, then he shouldn't be able to do it.
How's he going to pay him in bananas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid. Who brought up that suit? The owner of the monkey? Because that's what it's probably about. They want cash for the monkey's likeness.
I think it was a question. They were trying to, PETA was suing for it, saying, you know, the animal should somehow get credit. You know, or the people that...
Extra rations. This is a like better rock to sit on.
This is just trolling, right? Yeah. I mean, like, they're kidding.
Well, dude,
what do they really think that this is an important issue?
Well, here's the thing. In this country, there's not a lot of like big animal abuse going by like company, you know,
right.
like Barnum and Bailey, they're out. The Ringling Brothers, they're done. Yeah. So they got SeaWorld basically left, a couple of zoos.
Right.
They got to go where they got to go, you know, and latch onto whatever they can latch onto.
That's right.
Not that I don't support them, but
well, with that said,
it seems a bit trivial to me.
Here's speaking of animal rights.
Yeah.
Animal rights protesters swarm Chick-fil-A store in Florida.
Oh God.
Chick-fil-A is awesome. You like Chick-fil-A?
I never go there. No.
You never go to Chick-fil-A?
No.
Is it because, why? You don't like chicken or you don't like fried
chicken? I'm liberal. Screw them.
No, you don't like fried chicken?
I love the gays. No, I just don't like their food.
I hate their food, but I go there all the time because I hate gays, too.
It's my favorite thing. To me, their chicken.
Hating gays.
Yeah. To me, their chicken is like cafeteria chicken. I don't know why everybody's so over the moon. I don't think it's that good. I've been there. I ate one time in the mall, and I was like, "Ugh, this is not." Ugh.
Yeah, it's still salty.
It's too much.
Pinellas Park, Florida. Customers at a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Florida.
That's right down the street from me.
Found themselves navigating past animal rights protesters wearing masks covered in fake blood and clutching butcher knives. One customer at the fast food restaurant on Tuesday captured the melee on video. Tampa Bay Times reports some protesters wearing chicken and horse masks lay on tile floors while others pretended to stab them with bloody knives. What do these people want to do? I mean, these are vegans. I mean, you know, if people are going to fucking eat. They're going to eat. Don't tell me, fuck, I want to eat meat.
Worst freeform improv group ever.
Yeah. I need a suggestion.
While customers looked on yelling the demonstrators to leave, some tried to shield their children from the fracas.
Shield their children?
I would just say, honey, these would fuck it. These are fucking morons.
You know, listen, there are people that have an opinion and
they're
they
motivated wanna, and trying to fuck people.
Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech.
Look, they have
do these people think anybody in that room is going to stop eating chicken because of what they just did?
No, but they know they'll get a news story. Your ass is talking about it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they didn't get. What good did that do?
Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
They were all wearing masks. No one knows who they are.
Yeah, they do. They probably had a written statement. They probably had someone march to the store and,
do something worthwhile. You think they're going to stop killing chickens?
I don't know.
With the we have 500 billion people on this earth, right? Isn't it boring?
I know that if you get to say what you want, they do too.
I agree with that, Dougie.
Listen, we all get freedom of speech, and we all got to deal with the consequences.
What's the consequence?
Look at Kathy Griffin. She used her freedom of speech, and then she dealt with consequences.
The consequence was stupid, but whatever.
It is what it is. You know, to judge what everything is, it is. You know, it's like I think the act was stupid. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. It wasn't funny. It wasn't that.
It wasn't meant to
I don't
be
think,
funny.
I don't think. I don't
oh, I
think.
Hold on. Why, I don't, does, I don't think, hold on, wait, I why does everybody say that? It wasn't funny. Why do you think, just because she's a comedian, she does that, it's supposed to be funny? Maybe she's making a statement, a real statement, an artistic statement.
Right.
You guys take, you negate, not you guys, but people that were against her with this whole thing, negated the statement by saying it wasn't funny. And that annoyed the shit out of me because I'm like, it doesn't have to be funny.
It was tasteless and not even funny.
I tasteless mean, in your for, opinion, other people.
For
look,
somebody to be killed and murdered?
Mapplethorpe sells hundreds of things.
I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. So I thought it was a great joke. So
that's what I'm saying.
Until she apologized, then I was like, this joke sucks.
Yeah, not a that's good right. joke.
You did what?
Well, she listen, God bless her. She got through it, and then, you know, see what happens. She but she lost her
it.
Job on.
She lost a whole yeah, bunch
she,
of shit.
Yeah, well, she dealt with it. That's, again,
I'll tell you
know,
one
freedom
thing.
Of speech, that's what it is. Freedom is you get to do what you want, but you don't, like, there's no guarantees in life. So, you know,
I think she knew that.
I don't think she expected that much backlash.
Really?
I think
she said
she
was going to get backlash when she was making the
video. I didn't think
it
was going to be that. You could, you know, she. It, yeah, but I don't think she expected it to be that bad.
I guess
she thought
it?
The American public. Whether I think things happen where they happen, whether people deserve it or not, I don't know the whole, like you would say, I didn't know all the, I don't know all the aspects of what made her do it, why she did it, the thought process that occurred to it. Yeah. I'm not going to be judgmental
like the president.
In that
I
sense.
Can tell you what it is. She
yeah.
doesn't
so
like, what's
like the president. There's a lot of things I don't like, but I'm not going to show a period of time of violence. We're trying to have less violence in this world.
But you do
maybe act on
but you
more
do
violence.
Go on your podcast and talk about things that you don't like, and in your act, in your stand-up act, you talk about those things as well and give your opinion out.
Right.
Yeah.
I think everybody should express their
you
opinions.
Think if somebody gets offended by your opinion that they're okay, it's okay for them to be there, or do you get mad when people are offended?
I don't give a fuck what people think. I don't have no control of what other people think. So
when they say to you, I think that was offensive, do you get mad at them?
No.
Okay.
I don't get mad at people. I can't get mad at other people's actions. I can't. People are going to react any way they possibly can. Mm-hmm. I am not in control of that. If I have issues with that, then I have problems with my own persona.
Would you change
right?
it for somebody else if they were offended by it? Would you change it? Or
I would.
Apologize?
I would. If I found that I was out of line, I would own up and say that was a bad thing.
Would you apologize? You think?
If it was somebody I knew and you know was upset and I felt the need to apologize,
what if it was a complete stranger, nobody you've ever met in your whole life,
and they come up to me and say, "Look, this photo you took," yeah. I thought, "Yeah, I apologize. You didn't, you know, didn't like it."
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I'd probably say, yeah. If I felt strong about it, I'm like, "Fuck yourself. I don't like, you know, this is the way yeah. I'm going to say." But if you know, and I have to make that call. In my days, I've done things that I've said, you know what. I felt fine when I did it, but then, you know, maybe rethinking it, maybe I was a little overboard or maybe stuff like that, and then I would own up.
A little hindsight reaction.
Yeah, I would own up to it.
I got to say, when that story came out, it was a shock to me that Kathy Griffin was still alive. I had no idea. I thought she...
Listen,
she
I used
died
that
years ago.
I used that moment. I put on Twitter, on Instagram or something, that Dougie Danger put, 99 out of 100 people would rather fuck the decapitated skull of Donald Trump than bang fucking Kathy Griffith.
Nice.
You know, you got
FBI call you up over that? Or?
No, they didn't. They didn't mind at that
yeah,
point.
Of course not.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Chris Gorgeous for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. No hard foods are good, right?
Yeah,
and
dude,
we're still everything.
Yeah, we're, you know, listen.
I have trepidation about this whole interaction.
No, listen.
Because
well,
I don't agree with a lot of the stuff you say. But
well, I don't, listen, agree or don't. I don't, you know, again, you
okay.
know, I mean, I don't expect to agree with a lot of things or agree with or other people.
Yeah.
The question is can somebody say, you know what? I'll see that. We're not, what I see right now is everybody's just so gung-ho on their own side of the fence. They're not even listening to anymore.
Yeah.
I'll agree, you know, when it comes to global warming, it's an issue. That's the bottom line. Fault and how it could be fixed and all that stuff I care about. What can be done? Can things be done? Let's hope. You know, the thing I worry about is when scientists say we may have gone too far. At this point, there is no going back. You know, those are the things I worry about. And, you know, and whether or not it was caused by this, I'm a kind of guy that I don't really care for blame. Like I always played in sports, like soccer and things like that. And you know, when something go wrong, if one person did it, it didn't matter whose fault it was. We all lose. So I'm in that team philosophy where we all got to get it together. I don't care whose fucking fault it is. People just got to own up and be responsible and get to their job. Get to their responsibility
nobody's,
and get it done.
Nobody's owning
unless
up.
It's too late. Then fuck it.
That's right.
Fucking
shit
man.
On a slide.
That's it.
Right.
Fuck the police.
That's right.
Just, you know, let it all hang out. Cut off
monkeys.
Cut off
monkeys getting money for selfies.
Take selfies, monkeys. We're all going down.
I had a very good time tonight. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the show this evening.
Yeah, thanks, Dougie.
Ethan Moore as well.
It's been a lot of fun, man.
Thanks.
appreciate having you. Can I plug something real quick?
We'll do that right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so other than that, guys, that's all our shows for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. And don't forget to join our fan page on Facebook, at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. By the way, Friday, I'm going to be at the Bubba Army Radio Studios in Tampa again.
Nice.
Doing our show from 12 to 2 live. You can call in at 813-90-BUBBA. I'll be there with Tiffany Barbie, will be my co-host that day. And, of course, just call in, join us on the show. And how about you, Ethan? What's coming up?
So I got two things. One is I do this radio show called Mean and Sober. I do that with John Gregory. He's a Miami comic, very funny guy. I do that every Thursday and Friday afternoon on WSQF 94.5 FM. That's in South Miami. So if you're not in South Miami and you want to hear the show, you can get it anytime. Just go to meanandsober.com, or you can look it up on iTunes or any of your podcast clients. So check out Mean and Sober. We talk about politics.
You got two plugs here. I'm going to cut your other second plug.
We give you the liberal and conservative side on both. Second thing is Comedy Night at 33rd Street Wine Bar. Come out and see Tim Hanlon. If you're a fan of this show, you know Tim Hanlon. He is going to be there Tuesday, July 25th, 9 p.m. Check out 33rd Street Wine Bar in Fort Lauderdale.
Nice gig. How about you, Chris?
I'm off for the next week or so. I'll be at McCurdy's again in August. And you can check out my website, gorgeouscomedy.com. Also, I'll be doing an interview on Canadian radio tomorrow. So I'll put that up on my website. You guys can check it out. It's like a... We're talking about how the comedy has changed with the political climate.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
Hear that. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll be back next week with all new shows. But don't forget, on Friday, we'll be coming live from Bubba Army Radio in Tampa. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Friday. Not here at the same spot, somewhere else, but we'll be here.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground.